Hello, this is episode 2 of The Spatial Show. I just spent yesterday evening at Startup Camp Waterloo 3. Had a great time there. There was a number of great talks from a number of entrepreneurs from the local area. And also, the event started with a nice panel from a number of local startup founders and people who help others start startups. The panel was called How to Start or Why to Start a Startup. I recorded everything at Startup Camp, and I hope to be putting everything out onto my feed. So here is the first panel, How to Start a Startup.
My name is Ian, and I work for an organization called Communitech. Communitech.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. So Larry, tell me about it. So why startup? I guess a couple of things. You don't have to shave is one that I heard today. But a couple of things. One of which is Guy Kawasaki often says that the definition of an entrepreneur is a person who's basically unemployable and under any traditional form of employment. So I don't think it's about skills. I think it's about attitude. What drove me to start a couple of companies was a couple of things. One of which was I had problems with authority. And I didn't like working for someone who said that I would be qualified to do something important when I was 40. So that was really the one great motivator for me. The other was I had ideas. I thought my ideas were good. And I wanted to be able to implement them. And the only way I was going to be able to do that would be to do my own thing. And I think the final thing is I really enjoyed the risk associated with it. I really liked the fact that I had to raise enough money to make payroll. I really liked the fact that I had to build something that somebody actually wanted to buy. It was just such a thrill in being able to do that. So from that, lots of lessons. I still have trouble with authority. Still don't want to work for anyone but a board of directors or for myself. And learned that, that's it.
My name is Larry Borsato, and I'm just a general agitator, I guess, for the purposes of this panel. I've worked with a bunch of startups. I spent my whole life in startups. And when Jesse asked me to do this, he just said I was answering the question of why. He didn't say why, what. So I had all these great answers for why. Why, yeah. No, it's okay. Also, so why start a startup came out later. Why start a startup? Because you can. Because I've seen people waste their lives away, death by a thousand cuts in large companies, when they'd rather do something good, and there's no better time than now. When I was first working with startups, it cost millions of dollars. I was looking today, 10 years ago, RIM, before the BlackBerry existed, took a loan from the government of $6 million. 2 years later, another $40 million. Millions and millions of dollars. Today, I can start a company with a credit card. In fact, I started an EC2 account about 20 minutes ago. With my credit card, great, I've got a startup now. Basically, this is a chance that you can change the world. And you can do it really simply, and again, on your credit cards, and not tell your wife anything at all about it. And please don't tell my wife anything about it. Basically, because you can, there's no better time right now to go out and change the world. And it's easy to do.
I'm Melanie Baker, I'm with ADRSS. I was asked to do this by some guy I've never met, and I've spent the last 5 years or so working for insurance companies. So I am your cautionary tale. As a bit of catharsis, I'm going to take an ironic tactic and tell you why not to start a startup. So, for example, if you like to work for a company whose 1.0 product came out in 1865, you should not start a startup. If you like working for a manager who's been in the same job since before you were born, you should not start a startup. If you like being asked multiple times a day to buy magazine subscriptions, Tupperware, chocolate bars, candles, Pampered Chef, and any other variety, and processed meats, a lot of meats, you should not start or work for a startup. If you're a big fan of interior design that features gray fabric cube walls, you should not start a startup. If you want a job and a job description, or job title and job description, that is so similar to everyone else's that after 5 years you get a Roman numeral added to the end of it, which means you have seniority, you should not start a startup or work for one. What else? Have I scared you enough yet? If you need any more advice, Dan Silvestri back there has just about as much fabulous experience as I do, so he can also help you. And if you want to meet people who are absolutely nothing like any of you, and who you will start to forget about 10 seconds after you walk in the door the last time, then you should not start a startup.
My name is Omar Ismail, and I'm from productwiki.com. So I'm actually going to kind of continue the thread that Melanie gave, but maybe in a little bit different perspective. So if you're good enough to make a successful startup, that means that you can have a really good job at Google or Microsoft or Amazon. So why start a startup means that you don't like getting free massages, you don't like getting gourmet meals, you don't like making hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a couple of years rather than nothing. You don't like anybody that you know. You don't like your family. You don't like your hobbies because you're never going to see them again. So you don't like any of that stuff, and you don't like sleep either. So if you don't like any of that stuff, then I suggest doing a startup.
I'm going to go back and work for RIM. I have a completely different perspective. It's because I'm new. I'm a corporate refugee. I was a corporate slave for 10 years and recently started a startup called Partners in Canada. And the reasons to start a startup are because you get to be an animal. And I'm a monkey. I'm a dance monkey. I'm a marketing monkey. I'm a 2-0 monkey. I'm a let's not waste marketing dollars monkey, but I am an animal at that. And when you're working at a company, you cannot be that passionate, because then you get to be that weirdo, that weird chick in marketing who just won't stop talking about the fact that we wasted 30 grand. Just let it go. That's part of our metrics, is to make sure we spend all the money. Fundamentally, couldn't live with that. I'm an animal about making sure that that revenue is spent in the right way. So starting a startup means that you get to be an animal. If you're a programming animal, if you're obsessed about your code, if you are a graphic design animal, you can't stand that something is 2 millimeters off center. If you're a financial animal, you can't stand to see balance sheets that aren't perfectly aligned in Excel. Start your own startup, because that's the only place you're going to get to be that animal. Start your own startup because you get to choose your environment. If you don't feel like you're doing your best work at 8:30 in the morning till 5:30 at night, cool. Do your work from midnight till 2 a.m. You get to decide. You also get to decide where you work. I don't particularly like the granite cube walls. They don't really fit well in there. Best place for me to work is on the back of my boat. Lucky for me, lots of marinas have internet nowadays. So you get to choose the place where your creative juices flow. Start a startup because you get to influence your country, your community. You get to do what's right. My Partners in Canada startup is about bringing great companies into Canada. And I'm very passionate about that. I'm passionate about what we have to offer as a country. And that's the reason to start a startup.
So I'm Ali. I'm the founder of Well.ca. So this is a good question. Yeah, Jesse just told me the question was why. Chris can testify in the office. I've just been walking around the office shouting, why? Why? Everyone's getting really mad. So when I started working in this field just about a year and a half ago, I started meeting with as many people as I could, which is a great idea. You should all do that. And I used to bother them with questions so they'd never take meetings with me again. And I used to ask them things. And one of the main questions I'd ask every founder that I thought of, people that I really respect, people that I want to be like, I would say, what motivates you, right? The question, to me, the question why is, the underlying question is, what's motivating you? And the reason I was asking other founders this question was I was thinking, if I could listen to their answer and adopt those motivations, those values, I could be like them and I could be successful like them. But the neat thing is, every single person I've asked, every time I've seen it asked, no one answers the question well. No founder, the ones that are most driven and passionate, the ones who do really well, seem like they make up answers after the fact. Like, they'll say it's about the people, but I don't think that's really what they started with. They just added that value in afterwards. It seems like the most successful people I know don't really know why. But a weird thing is, and something you might not know about me, is that when I was younger, before I started this, I spent a lot of time in the Middle East. I thought I was going to quit school, and if anyone asked me, my old roommate's right there. If you asked me back then what I was going to do, I wanted to be a mystic. I wanted to go out, be a shepherd, study mystical philosophy. That was my plan. And I actually left school. I just ran away. Told them I was on a co-op term. And got a great evaluation from my dad. And I spent time in the Middle East, and I just started trying to find teachers that I was studying. And one of the things about mystical Islam, which I was studying, is called Sufism, I guess, is that they have this state. So there's different states. And one of the highest states, or actually it's a middle state, but it's the state of no why. I need the third period. This is deep. Come on. You want me to stop right now? So one of the highest states is the state of not asking why anymore. And the point, the underlying point behind that is that human beings in their nature want to be good and are in, there's a current inside all of us that unifies with the current behind all things and all that stuff, all that mystical stuff. But the idea is that as soon as you ask the question why, you've tainted it because you're trying to add external motivations. The idea is to unlearn things, not to learn things. So if I think if running a startup, the underlying question of why do you run a startup is really why should you be creative, create things that people like, and do it with passion without external motivations, then I think the answer is you can't ask the question why. You should ask the question why to anyone who isn't doing that, because that should be the natural state. And I think the interesting thing once you start thinking that way is that once you have people that work with you, instead of trying to figure out how can you motivate them to be innovative, you start asking the question, how do I take away the barriers that stop all people from all people who are naturally innovative from not being innovative? That's my answer.
I'm Gary Will, working with Communitech, and I've never been an employee in my adult life, so I when I first heard the question, why start a startup, my first thought was, if you have to be persuaded to start a startup, it may not be for you, because your alternative to starting a startup in most cases, unless you're just going to sit around the house, is being employee number 83 somewhere, where you will have a job description, you will have tasks laid out for you, don't necessarily have to have any ideas, might be discouraged from having ideas in some places. Most importantly, maybe you get a paycheck every 2 weeks, no matter how well you did over the previous 2 weeks. It's always going to be there. If you're sick for a day, that money's still there. You want to go do something else one day, that money's still there. It's a pretty good deal, and it's no wonder that most people choose to go that route. But I think that's also why, for some people, starting a startup can be so appealing, because you get to do things that no one in their right mind would ever hire you to do. 2 years ago, if you put an ad on Monster saying you want to start a Canadian web retail company, are you going to hire a guy whose background is doing UI work at Microsoft and some graphic rendering at Ring? I mean, you'd never even look at that guy's resume, and that's what Ali's background was, and he's been doing pretty well. You get to use and develop skills that you would never get to develop and use at the, as employee number 57. You get to have ideas and implement them, and I think that's the appeal. If the security, no question, it's being the employee. But to have the ideas, to have the opportunity to put them into use, the startup is the way to go.
Thank you.
Good answer.
So we thought we would let you guys ask you guys some questions if you have them. Because we have a bit of time. And there's a race. Yes.
It's not really a question, but kind of a comment about the idea that one good reason to start a startup is that you have a problem with authority. There's a lot of truth in that. But if that's you, there's another skill that you absolutely must have, which is the ability to fool everyone into thinking you have no problem with authority. The day will come, if your business does well, that you want to exit, and that's likely to be by acquisition, and that means you're going to have to work somewhere for 2 years or three. And they need to like you and think they can work.
Any comments from the...
All that means is that in addition to having a problem with authority, you have to be a really good actor.
Further to the problem with authority but hiding it thing, one of the best lines I've ever heard about sort of the kind of people I guess that start startups is, if I'm happy, I don't need to be managed, and if I'm not happy, I can't be managed. And traditional managers have absolutely no idea how to handle that.
Any other, yes?
So that means that if you're going to have employees and you have a one-person business or some other skills, you can pick up the favor and do that.
Say that again.
Okay, all the things that you're saying about employees and being able to manage them and
sense now.
Right.
Well, now that you have your brilliant idea and you know why you're doing it, or perhaps you don't know why and that's okay, what's the next step? What do you do first? Because that's, I think for a lot of people, they see, do I get funding? Do I put together a business plan? Do I try to figure out marketing? You know, you've got this brilliant idea, which means absolutely nothing. Where do you go?
Here.
Get friends. I mean that. You can have, and Kareem, I know you, so I know that this you're a personable guy, you're a social guy, but you need to have people that you can trust, at least one other person that you can trust who's with you on the journey. So as much as it might be your brilliant idea, find somebody who is also an animal, but that you can get along with and may have divergent ideas from you, just to keep you sane. But that's the first thing to do. And the second thing, I mean, register your business license and get started.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what industry your startup is. Because it's like life sciences, and you need to have $50 million, you know, have it. And like, if you're taking a microchip, but if you're doing a traditional website, then you just do it. Like, I know William is doing Cash Roller, and are you still moonlighting?
Yep.
Yeah, so, and it's, and he just built it, you know what I mean? It's great, like, I love the service and everything, and, you know, as far as I know, he hasn't gotten any funding or anything like that, he just did it. And like I said before, you know, you hate sleep, right? If you wanted to start, you hate sleep, so you'll do anything not to sleep, and usually that means working on your idea.
Can I add one thing to that? I mean, find a supportive customer. I mean, these days, everybody's doing web apps, and you just try and gather eyeballs. I come from back in the days when we had to sell something. Find a supportive customer, and sometimes they'll push you along faster than anybody else will, and they'll sort of teach you the ropes as you go.
Yeah, isn't there an aspect of like reward / greed? I mean, for me personally, I got really frustrated. I was an entrepreneurial employee, and I kept doing this amazing things for my employer to get you know, just my salary, right? That pissed me off because I would see they go off and make, you know, in some cases, like they made, you know, it's been millions of dollars alive in these companies. So it's not a factor too. And then, yeah, that.
Now you get to make nothing. So.
I think that kind of made sense before, but like, I think in a Google world, it doesn't necessarily make so much sense because they, I mean, Google's really changed the game and they'll let you, maybe it's changing now, but no, but you know, you have the 20% time, like all my friends, they are allowed to use their entrepreneurial juices and they get paid a heck of a lot of money as well. So it's more, I think it's, if there is a big payoff, if you can see a big payoff way down the line, then it makes the harshness and it makes the suffering and it makes the stress and the poverty and the, you know, all of the insanity that comes with the first X number of years before you hit that hockey stick, and you know, most people don't, that's what makes it worth it. Because if, you know, if there was no, you know, gold at the end of that rainbow, then just go work for something like Google that does let you exercise your creative freedom and work with awesome people.
I so disagree.
No, I mean, like, if, from my experience talking to the most successful, I guess it depends how you define successful entrepreneurs, but the people who have built the coolest stuff in my mind, people who have built the coolest companies that actually have substance behind them, are not financially motivated. And even if you were, if you tried to be financially motivated, I mean, a couple months into it, you're so deep into what you're doing, it's so hard to be thinking about money. It's like, running a startup, I mean, it's a common theme you're going to hear, it's so knee-deep, difficult, that financial motivation is not going to be enough to drive you. It's such a shallow a motivation. If you're not passionate about what you do, if you wouldn't be doing it if you weren't getting paid, you're not going to be able to do it. I can't see anyone making the financial argument. If you really want to make money, there's other ways to do it that are more less risky, more solid. Like, if you're thinking about, like, I have a portfolio and this is my investment, I have so many better suggestions for you than starting to start.
I think think too, in sort of the traditional corporate world, the brain power and skills you need to be hardcore into making money tend to be a bit mutually exclusive to the kind of brain power and skills you need to start a startup and like put out those fires, build 1.0, do whatever you have to do. And to be truly coin operated, as a sales guy I used to know used to call it, those guys don't tend to be the creative ones, and that, you know, their problem solving is how do I convince this guy, manipulate this guy, whatever, into signing the dotted line. So yeah, I can't see both skills existing at the same time. I mean, if you got them both, rock on, you're probably gonna rule the world. But chances are, if you're like a hardcore sales dude, you're not the kind of creative who's gonna be starting companies on your own.
So it's not about the money. I just want to work for somebody that's stupider than me. It's frustrating to work for somebody who you know that you have more ideas on a daily basis, or you know you can do more that you just can't use.
So wait, let me ask you a question, Ali. If after 5 years at World.ca, you kind of broke maybe a little bit less of your opportunity cost and, you know, in terms of portfolio and that kind of stuff, that is equivalent then as if you were to have a big payday and were then given the freedom to make 5 new startups, invest in a bunch of companies, and have that kind of, you know, all those resources available to you that wouldn't otherwise be available to you if you hadn't had the big payday.
I don't know if that was a question, but I guess what you're answering the question is that maybe it's true that I guess people can have different motivations. Personally, I don't think it would apply to anyone else. Personally, I don't know what I would do if I had more money than I do now. I don't have any use for it. That's not my personality, but that doesn't mean that that's better or worse. I think the neat thing I always study about values and motivation, especially when you have a larger team, because when you have one person, you just have to think about your own motivations. A neat thing to think about when you have a company is, let's say now you have 9 people. Each person is motivated for different reasons. Some people want a salary, they just want to pay their mortgage. You want to have a big IPO, maybe. It's a neat thing to try to think of all these motivations, my investors, my employees, myself, and then try to figure out, is there a way that you can align them all so that you're all working to the same goal, even though you have different individual motivations, you can somehow make them overlap. It's a neat problem to have. If you can't do it, you can't run a company, right? So I think it's neat when everybody can have a common focus. Like maybe everyone's common focus is to just build value in that very generic sense. And then to your investors, that means they can increase their multiple or whatever, and for you that can be, I just want to build things without barriers. And that's, if you want to know what my motivation is, that's what it was when I started. I just want to build stuff. I'm going to do, if I could work for a company and build stuff without barriers, that's what I would do. But I think this is the best way in this specific case. That's all I care about. I want to build stuff. That's the engineering mentality. But it's neat to have salespeople who have a specific motivation, engineers who have different motivations, but try to figure out in a single boat, as a single company, can I figure out a way to make them all overlap? So maybe I want to hire you who just wants to make tons of money.
No.
Maybe, I don't know.
As your sales guy.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. So now we're going to thank the panel very much for coming out and sharing your insights.